The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today's show is brought to you by HelloFresh.com. Use the promo code COGDIS35 and save $35 off your first week of deliveries.
Hey guys, just thought I should let you know that I listened to your podcast when my boyfriend's over. And, well, the last time we did it, when you said that no one should ever have sex while listening to it, I was balls deep. Glory hole.
Jesus, Cecil, Tom, that shit that you guys talked about with the fucking sock puppets was some of the most childish, disgusting, crass, and frankly offensive things I have ever heard you two say. And I've never laughed harder. Keep it up, you wonderful motherfuckers. Glory hole.
Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. This is episode 336 of Cognitive Dissonance. 337. Okay, that's what
you
I was going to say.
Wrong last time. You did 336 last time. It's 335. Toaster Shaken's released on Thursday, which you wouldn't have known about because you don't pay attention to this stuff, but it is 337. Just letting you know.
Toaster Shaken's releases on Thursday, which is, as of the date of this recording, in the future, though.
Yeah. So it's 336.
Right.
And this one will be 337.
I mean, don't get me wrong. You're clearly right.
I'm not correcting you.
That's all I have to say, actually. I'm not correcting you. I just forgot about Toaster Shakens. You know, I do want to point out, though, that there's something special about this episode. And that is that it is not being recorded in 2016. That fucking dumpster fire is over.
Yeah. We just kindled a little bit of the garbage from that one.
No,
we're bringing over
no,
to this
that's not
dumpster.
How this works.
We're bringing
new
it
dumpster,
over to this
new dumpster.
New dumpster, new fire. That's no. how it works.
Okay, you know what? I'll take a different fire. I'll just take a different fire. At least it won't smell like hobo grease.
Yeah, well, Trump's president.
Oh, it's going to smell worse. It's going to be
he's
weird,
He's going to burn
man.
All the hobos. I mean, like, let's be honest. He's going to murder all the hobos.
That's super likely.
Well, he'll just come to town, and he'll be like, hey, I'm going to murder all your hobos. Bring them on up here. I want to shoot them in the face in front of you. And then he's just going to shoot all the hobos. And he'll be like, oh, my God, thank you, Trump, for cleaning up the streets. And then people will be like, hey, why'd you shoot all those hobos? He's like, wasn't me. Never did it. He's blowing the smoke out of the gun. He's like,
right.
Never did it. No, it wasn't me. Bam, bam, bam. Never did it. No, that wasn't
what
me.
Talking about, I'm going to tweet about yeah. Did you see the tweet? Did you see the tweet?
Was
where
it about
like,
hobos?
I vanquished my enemies or some shit. he tweeted out like, Happy New Year. It's a predictably good New Year for me because I won and my enemies are crying.
Yeah.
They're crying big fucking weepy tears. I am a sore winner.
We elected a 10-year-old. That's fucking amazing. Oh, God, it's like playing a 10-year-old on Xbox, and he's like, right. I fucked your mom, I fucking came in her ass. And you're just like, if I could reach through this little thing and grab your fucking scrawny neck, you shit, I would choke the fucking life out of you. That's how you feel. It's like you're playing a guy, and the problem is he keeps winning, right?
So I know.
He's winning and winning and winning. And do you remember when all you wanted from the year?
Yes, I do.
Was to hear
you don't even have to finish
make a concession speech.
Yes, I wanted so bad.
I wanted it so bad, too, because I just wanted to hear him.
I was following
half erect all year waiting for that.
And then he does it, and now he's just going to rub it in for 4 years. And I hope that America gets its shit together and votes him out in 4 years, just so I can be like, you know, it was a shitty 4 years, but it was worth that concession speech. Yeah. Because I want to hear him at least say one.
Because
if he goes 8 years, then he won't get to say one.
He'll have just won all the winning that he can win.
That sucks.
You know, it's one thing to be a sore loser. That's ugly, right? Yeah, being a sore loser is fucking ugly.
Sure, it's ugly.
I have a lot of practice at losing. I'm a great loser. Like, it's just like...
You're the best loser I know.
Thank you, Cecil.
I mean, you are one.
Thank you.
You are really a unique and amazing loser.
Fuck you. But to be a sore winner is even uglier, right? It's just... Like
it's why everybody hates Ronda Rousey, right? When she won those fights and she wouldn't shake the hands with people, and why, you know, like other people didn't like Anderson Silva.
Sure.
Like these are the sports you know. So I'm not talking about
appreciate.
I'm not talking about other people.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
But like when people are sore winners, you're like, oh, what a douchebag.
It makes you hate the person, right?
It just makes you look like you're just like gloating. You're like, oh, what a cunt you are.
It's like that Nate Diaz.
Yeah.
He's a sore winner.
Yeah.
I don't like him.
Yeah.
Also, I think he's cognitively deficient.
You think he's deficient? I think you can kind of tell by that Cro-Magnon shelf that is above his eyebrows that he's a little deficient.
He's like,
I would not fight you though, Nate. Trust me. Nate, you win.
If you listen to the show, you can have all my money right now. Like,
you come to the studio, I'm going to feed you chocolate raisins until I can run away.
I'll peel that motherfucker a grape. Yeah. Like, whatever you need, buddy.
And that grape could be my testicle. Right? Like,
but, buddy. Raise a glass. I don't even have one, but fucking here's to the end of 2016.
Yeah, 2016
and to the beginning
sucked.
Of, we've got 18 days before Trump's inaugurated.
2016 did suck.
It was a little rough.
But 2017,
we Trump.
It's like, doesn't look any better.
Yeah, so here we go.
Yeah.
All right, all aboard.
Says it must be male and female. It must be opposite of one another. Everything in the universe testifies against the Sodomites and against the Sodomite gospel and against the Sodomite Bible.
All right, so this story comes from the Friendly Atheist blog. This is our friend. This is Jim Baker. Jim Baker's got some shit to say, almost all of it entirely inaccurate,
pretty much,
about Bibles and schools.
All right, so here we go.
Months ago, God called me to be a part.
Hello, Jim Baker, are you there?
Hey, Jim, I'm calling you to be a part. That's it, just a part. I just want you to be a part.
Pick up the phone. Why don't I always get your answering machine, Jimmy? I'm talking right to your brain. You never pick up.
Jimmy, I see everything. I know you're on Pornhub. Answer the phone.
Of calling this nation back to God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To voting at the election.
That's where you vote.
At the polls.
Mm-hmm. There's no other place to do it.
Oh, no.
There's no
other. Oh, no. If you're illegal.
Oh, yeah. If you're illegal, you could vote in the mythosphere.
Well, what you do is when they're carrying the locked ballots out to the car, you jump in the slot real quick and fill one out and jump back out of the slot.
A person who would stand for Bible reading in the schools even.
Mm-hmm.
You say, oh, we can't do that. We can. We can do all things through Christ.
Not that.
Yeah, that's not one of the things you can do.
Well, I mean, no, you can.
Yeah, the students can do it.
Yeah, no. Well, no, they can do it. And they've done it in a couple places, but then they start passing out the satanic pamphlets, and then they start passing out the Hindu pamphlets, and then they start passing out the Muslim pamphlets, and suddenly nobody wants Bible in the class anymore.
Interesting how that happens,
it's
right?
Weird.
It's like, oh, we live in a pluralistic society. I'd rather we didn't. Oh, but we do.
And if America votes, it's time they vote for anything and everything.
Wait, what does that mean? It's time they vote for anything and everything. Just vote for the whole fucking thing.
I don't know. I want to vote for a dick in your butt.
So does he. I'll tell you what. He's the only guy they had to eject from prison.
He didn't vote for it. You don't vote for that. You just agree to it.
Agree.
We should vote for Bible reading. We should have never let it be taken out of the schools.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Amen.
We should have never allowed them to take care from high schools and colleges and university, all of them. We should have never, ever, we didn't have to.
You can all, colleges and universities, first of all, are not the same thing.
I read the Bible. I read the Bible in college. I read it.
I read it in high school. We read it in our literature class as literature, and it was entirely fine. It wasn't preached. It was just read as literature.
Yeah, you read the garbage, and you're like, this is terrible.
Yeah, I actually do feel that way. Like, we read it, and I was like, this writing is not very good. This seems like a waste of time.
Yeah. So. I'm sure.
Because the writing's not.
Because the writing
is not very good.
Writing sucks.
By and large. Yeah. There's a line here or there. It's like, oh, that's a nice line.
Yeah.
But it's a line here or there. You know, you could read virtually any actually good literature, right? If you want to read something where every line is good, we should just be reading fucking Lolita in high school. Because every line is brilliant. Also, nobody should read that in high school.
Yeah. I mean, if you're in a Catholic high school, you should probably read it because they're already diddling you anyway.
That's actually part of their training program. They call that the school guide.
It's a handbook,
right?
Where they, you know, the hand
handbook,
you know what I mean,
huh? Right?
Fistbook. Yeah.
We didn't have to. Look what we did in this election. The people got up one last time. The great giant called the family of God got up and voted.
That's right.
And less than half of them voted for your guy.
And you still lost. You still lost.
Like less than all the people of God stood up. Yeah, there were less than half of them by a factor of 2. Whatever fucking million.
And all hell is against this presidency. All hell is against. Why? Why?
Because he's a terrible fucking leader. That's why. Because he tweets at fucking China, suck my balls. That's why. Because he's a fucking terrible goddamn leader, and he's an asshole and a narcissist. Like, that's why.
Those are actually excellent points. All of those are excellent points.
I mean, his policies are garbage. We read through his first 100 days. There was like 2 or 3 things in there. We're like, oh, yeah, you should stop lobbyists. And as soon as he gets in, he's like, hey, lobbyists, burr, burr, let's go. And it was like, he like clearly lied about all the shit that people thought he was going to do to like change Washington. And now he's going in and he's going to be pretty much Washington. And he's going to fucking essentially just make it good for rich people. That's why. How about that? How about he's just going to make it good for rich people?
Well, and I'll tell you what, the thing that is scaring me the most right now is how obviously temperamentally unsuited he is for this position.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy who's, it seems like his plan to communicate with the world is genuinely through Twitter. I think that is what is going to happen here. I think the way he is going to communicate with the world is in 140 character bursts of outrage.
He's
a toddler.
His maturity level is fucking, it's through the floor.
It couldn't be lower.
It's abysmal.
He doesn't even seem like he has the actual interest in the work of the job, right? Yeah. Like, it's like, hey, do you want these security briefings? No, I'm super smart. I don't need them.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? You're fucking about to be the president of the United States. You doesn't matter how smart you are.
I'll tell you why. That's it. Because of righteousness. Good and evil.
That's right.
Good and evil. That's what it's about, Zach.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
It's about Christianity cramps the style of this generation.
Right.
This generation wants to sin and mock God, kill babies a million of a year, and just do anything we want.
That's right.
They've decided to change marriage.
That's right.
The whole definition of marriage.
Marriage is different now. Did you know that?
What's the definition? What is the definitional difference?
I think two people that are consenting adults that love each other can get married. Well, actually, it turns out you don't even have to love each other. You just be two consenting adults. Where nobody's smart enough to say no.
I've got news for you. It still takes a man and a woman to make a baby.
Yeah.
Babies and marriage aren't the same thing. So I got news for you, Jimmy Baker. You know what? It's funny because he fucking knows that, right? Because he got married later in life, didn't produce any offspring.
Yeah.
Right?
No, right. Exactly.
I mean,
he
can't possibly be fertile. Look at him. He's obviously irradiated.
Oh, I'm sure he's fine. It's just, I'm sure his wife is menopausal.
That bobble thing?
Yeah. She's menopausal.
No way. Oh, that's dry as the day is long. Are you kidding me? You can't pry that apart.
She's like moistening with a turkey baster.
You gotta get the garden hose out just to get everything apart.
He's got a small bucket of KY. He's just sticking the turkey baster in there and then. No, it just keeps on absorbing it. I try to go in and it's just absorbing it in the walls. It's weird. Why is it doing that?
I didn't think the human body could absorb 3 bottles of Jergens. This seems unsafe.
It's real smooth in here, though. I will say that.
It's velvety soft.
It's moisturized.
That's right. And they say, oh, no, 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 no. They can do it in a test tube. Well, they still got to get...
What are they gonna get?
Say it.
He can't even say it. Look at how smug she looks, too. Look at her.
Say sperm. Say sperm. I love when these guys are squeamish about biology, right? Because they're just like, parts.
They gotta get the stuff.
Bits in the box.
They need the man stuff and the woman stuff. And if you put the man and the woman stuff together, you get the baby stuff.
Do you wonder if that's part of it? It's just like they're so divorced from how bodies work. And they're so uncomfortable that they're just like, I don't know, a man and a woman. That's a magic happens. Poof, a baby. They don't want to think too much about it.
Part. Well, they were yelling out there in the audience.
He's just moving his hands. He's just moving his hands back and forth like, you guys know what I mean, huh?
Vaginal discharge.
I don't think the vaginal discharge is required for the baby.
I just thought I'd say it. I get excited.
I got to wash the sheets. No, I don't.
You're a bachelor. Those stains are like, they're like pride. Like
I draw like a CSI circle around it and put the date on it.
You hang like one of those UV lights from the ceiling and you spin it. It looks like one of those disco clubs around your room because all the lights are moving around.
They're helping you preach.
Male and female. Anyway, you know what happened this week?
What's that?
The worst thing.
Hold on. Let's see if we can guess what. Let's see what the worst thing this week was.
All right.
Okay. What do you think what do you think happened to him?
Oh, the worst thing this week that happened to Jim Baker. He had to have sex with that bobblehead.
He got a toothy blowy from her.
Oh, it's so scratchy.
Can you take your teeth out, honey?
In England?
What happened?
The law in England has approved the new 3-person marriage.
Yeah. Sure, of course.
Yep.
Not even true. Legitimately
not, true?
Not even true. No.
Okay.
So his source is Mr. Conservative.
Well, that's got to be true, right? Mr. Conservative. That sounds like a...
When your source... My source is Mr. Conservative.
Well, let's look it up.
All right, let's do it.
Even on the Mr. Conservative website, it says three-way marriages may now be legalized.
May. Won't be.
According to Breitbart...
Is that what it says?
The Green Party in the UK has announced that they are open to legalizing three-way marriages in the country.
That
seems very different
than what he just said.
Than what he just said.
Because it is extraordinarily different. One party, a minority party says they're open to a concept. No, it's the law! No, it's the law! I am the law. No, what?
I will say that there's three...
I just have one question. Who rules Bartertown?
There's three lesbians here on the image.
Yeah, tell me more.
I gotta say, blue-haired lesbian...
I've watched that movie. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm not navigating away.
I might be navigating too.
Actually. I'm not saying I'll finish the whole movie, but I'm not navigating away.
I've never finished the whole movie.
I've always fast-forwarded to the end.
And that's
is that right?
Yes.
Did you read it?
I sure did.
It's in our headlines.
That's not what it says. That's not even what you wrote. He wrote down, three-way marriages may now be legalized.
May.
The may is kind of important.
Also,
in that sentence.
He got his own source wrong. He got his own dubious source wrong.
It's like when you were a kid and you'd ask the teacher, the smart-ass teacher, be like, can I go to the bathroom? And they'd be like, I don't know, can you?
Like, let me rephrase it. I'm going pee. Do you want me to do it in your classroom or in the urinal?
Can you?
Wow.
So they're going to take parts, stuff... From three people.
No, we're not taking the parts from three people.
Nobody said that.
Wait a minute. Who takes my parts? I mean, that's a three-way I don't want to have. I'm taking your parts. The fuck you are. I'll loan them to you.
It's Frankenthirds.
So three people now can get married.
Nope.
Pretty soon you'll be able to marry a baboon.
You already
First
did.
Of all, Nope, I got nothing better than that. That's great.
No, that's... She didn't consent. I mean, come on, let's be honest.
I bet her ass is bright red when he's done.
He stands across the room and he just throws his cum at her. He's just whipping it across the room.
No wonder she's never been pregnant. His aim's not that good.
Now, the concern, obviously, is if this isn't bottled up in San Francisco, this kind of nonsense, then it's going to be spreading across the entire fruited plain, and you're going to be going to your Burger King in Des Moines, Iowa, and you're going to have a rainbow-colored wrapper for your Whopper.
This story comes to the Border Herald. Christian couple in Australia plan to divorce if same-sex marriage is legalized.
What?
Why are you fucking with
me? It's an accident.
I do such a bad job, even if left to my own devices.
Oh, stop.
So this is kind of what it sounds like. A married couple in the Australian capital of Canberra, or Cranberry, as
Cranberry.
We call it.
It's Cranberry.
They made headlines after deciding to be assholes, basically. This is just a publicity stunt for what? Their own marriage?
I think I think you could sort of figuratively say what they're saying is we're going to take our one set of balls and go home. I think that's what they're saying.
Nicely done, sir.
Thank you.
Nicely done. I can tell that was a written.
I might have wrote that down ahead of time. It was the first thing that popped up. Yeah, it's interesting. I certainly agree with this form of protest because Sarah and I sent a letter to the Pope a while back.
I remember this letter.
We dissolved our marriage when...
With the church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Through the church as, you know, it's symbolic, if anything else. And yeah. I think that this is just as symbolic. I mean, you're clearly trading in some things, though, that, you know, you get. I mean, we don't get a lot of benefits here in the States for being married. Actually, I think it's a penalty, isn't it?
Was for me.
For normal people, Tom, with functional relationships,
I've never met one.
A penalty. But yeah, there's a tax penalty, I think.
Yeah, you pay more in taxes.
You pay more in taxes,
sure. Right.
And
yeah.
And if you don't shit out any kids, there's no benefit. I mean, you know, Sarah and I could be married filing jointly or single filing jointly and still be, you know, quote unquote married. You know what I mean?
Like, sure.
You know,
right.
It doesn't matter. And so the same thing I think applies here. Like these people are probably they seem like they still want to stay together and they're just going to do this as a form of protest. Good for you. Do whatever you want to do. But understand that. Nobody cares.
Well, you know, the goofy thing, though, is, and I don't know how things work in Australia, but here in the States, you lose, like, you lose the benefits of your estate planning protections. You lose the benefits of, you know,
there's
I'd like
lot,
to make end-of-life
yeah.
decisions
yeah,
for somebody.
Yeah,
like,
you can lose that
you know, there's more than just tax implications. You know, marriage does confer a number of specific legal benefits that they're just going to throw away.
Sure.
Because why? You know, I they have, certainly they have a right to do this, right? I mean, nobody's saying that they don't have a right to do this.
No.
But, you know, this is an editorial.
And I also think it's a valid form of protest, though. I really genuinely do.
Yeah,
to
I
do
just,
this.
I just think that, like, you're giving up a whole lot, right? You're giving up, at least in the States, right? Again, I don't know anything about Australia. I know that it's an island. That's all I know, full of poisonous shit. That's all I know. But, like, in the States, it's like you're giving up a whole bunch of shit, and then you're not going to affect any change.
No, there's
like,
nothing.
Like,
yeah.
Let's be super clear.
Totally understand.
Here's the problem I have with protests like this, is you are certain to lose. Right, you're not going to gain anything from this. If every married couple in the States did this, it wouldn't make any difference. It's a settled. The fucking Supreme Court was like, yeah, it's asked and answered.
Yeah,
this is over. This is done. We're not doing this anymore.
Right.
The question is settled.
Right.
So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to be like, well, now I don't have certain legal protections. Okay, we're still going to wake up in the same bed. Yeah. Okay, well, now you're just fucking living in sin, which is contrary to your own religious practice.
Yeah, it's asinine.
That's the thing. It's just
it's
going to accomplish nothing except for to hurt yourself.
Sure. But again, I think isn't that the point of the protest, though? To show that they're willing to hurt themselves because this is an ideal that they...
Yeah, it is, right? But it's like if they were like, well, I'm going to gouge out my left eye, you'd be like, well, fucking then you're going to walk around with one less eye and gay people are still going to love each other. It's fucking literally stupid. It's a stupid thing to do.
But if they gouge out both eyes, they don't have to look at
them. Wakefield is not just any researcher. His 1998 study on autism and childhood vaccines literally changed the way many parents think about vaccines. The study was based on just 12 children. That's right, 12 children but many parents desperate for answers around the world embraced Wakefield's claim that he'd found a link between autism and the vaccine for measles, mumps, and rubella.
Fuck's sake. This story's from The Independent. 1 in 3 Donald Trump supporters believes vaccines cause autism, and so does the president-elect.
Well, he does. He did, at least in the recent tweets, yep. Like in 2014.
Well, there's no reason to believe that he still believes something he believed in 2014.
No.
Like, that is entirely, and that, I'm not even kidding.
No, absolutely.
Just because he said it in 2014, first of all, doesn't mean he believed it when he said it.
No, that's true.
Second, it doesn't mean that he will admit to having said it while he was saying it.
That wasn't my Twitter account.
That wasn't me. It says, the real Donald Trump, not the real one. That's not me. I tweet at from the real Donald Trump. It's the same thing, not the same thing. What? What is happening?
Someone kill this man. Actually, just, bring him up on stage. I'll shoot him myself.
Just watched you type it. You saw nothing. You don't even have eyes. What? So, all right, here's in March of 2014, allegedly, he tweeted this. Autism, way up. I believe in vaccinations, but not massive all at once shots. Too much for small child to handle. Government should stop now.
Government should stop what now?
Well, and then he also
a massive shot that they're getting.
Well, hold on, because in 2012 he said, "I've seen people where they have a perfectly healthy child, they go for the vaccinations, and a month later the child is no longer healthy."
It happened to somebody that worked for me recently. I mean, they had this beautiful child, not a problem in the world, and all of a sudden they go in, they get this monster shot.
Hold on, you ever see the size of it? It's like they're pumping it in. You know, it's terrible, the amount.
The amounts.
He actually thinks that it's a higher volume because there's more than one vaccine.
That
comes out with this giant comical air pump thing.
But have you ever gotten the one that's a circle? It's like a tuberculosis or something? The one that's a circle.
Yeah.
Well, that's not actually a tuberculosis. What that is it's 9 syringes tied in a circle. And they stick it on your arm, and then they have to press plus the plunger at the same time.
I got my flu shot Friday, and I gained 11 pounds. The thing was huge. You should have seen it.
It has nothing to do with the flu shot.
Also, the doctor raped me.
Oh, I feel sorry for that guy. I guess one of the things is that he seems like the kind of guy who reads a little bit of something or hears something, and then he just kind of goes off on it, right? And this this sort of feels like that. It feels like he, you know, might have heard something about Wakefield studies or something, and then just doesn't. Just hears it and just takes it as gospel truth and just spouts off about it. The problem is that this is the president of the United States. I mean, somebody can go back and look at this tweet. This tweet still exists. Find this tweet, retweet it out, send it to all their followers, go to their natural news site and post it and be like, see, the president doesn't believe that vaccinations should be like this. Yeah, it's 2 years old, but.
Yeah, you know, two problems here that I see. Like, first of all, this is a perfect example of the facts don't matter.
Yeah.
Right? The facts don't make any difference. And then, like you're saying, like, this is a guy who reads the headline.
Yeah.
When he reads a headline, he takes it literally. It's clearly he takes it literally.
Yeah.
So when they say they're giving him lots of vaccines in one shot, he thinks they're actually giving lots of volume. Like, he is such a literal person. His ability to think metaphorically and figuratively.
It's like in the movies when they have that like big jar of shit they've got to stick in the thing.
Right.
And then it's like going on
and on.
And you see the thing draining. It's like.
It's like if I said, yeah, I'm going to give you the pertussis and I'm going to give you the whooping cough vaccine. I wouldn't think that you're giving me double the volume of liquid because I'm not a complete fucking idiot, right? I understand that we're talking about things that are microscopic, like in terms of what's actually doing the work in my body. So you can give me more microscopic pieces in the same general macro volume, right? Because I understand the difference. This is a guy who's, A, the facts don't matter, and B, he's such a fucking literalist.
Yeah.
And you have to worry about people who are like this because, you know, people don't speak literally. Language itself is symbolic. Somebody who can't even move beyond the literal and think and interpret and get past headlines and, you know, like, this is a problematic guy to be making decisions.
And it's problematic in the sense that, you know, here's a guy who's going to be the mouthpiece of a whole nation.
Mm-hmm.
things he says matter. They matter now.
Yeah.
In recognizing a communist, physical appearance counts for nothing. If he openly declares himself to be a communist, we take his word for it.
This is from Right Wing Watch. This is Michael Savage.
All right, so we're going to play this. This is from Savage's show. His fucking audio is always so hot, so he's going to sound like he's fucking blowing out his fucking...
This is why you hate this guy. This is a big part, because you have crazy anybody with shit audio.
Makes me crazy.
Yeah, I know.
First of all, we won the election. I don't live every day now fearing that the NSA is spying on me or that the FBI is going to throw a black bag over my head and take me away one night.
It'd be the only thing that improves your ugly fucking face.
Are you kidding me?
Do you know that I actually lived in that fear under the regime of Obama? And they're not gone yet.
They would have to sew a separate bag to get it over your fucking giant face. They would have to hire people from other countries to sweatshop style and fucking sew that thing together.
It'd be like when you were a kid and had a big parachute and everybody played parachute and bounced that fucker up in the air.
You'd have to buy out a Joann Fabrics to fucking piecemeal quilt something together that would fit over your fucking giant face.
I love it. He's like, did you know I lived with that fear? Yeah, well, I live with a fear of fucking flying laser sharks. Like, it's just as likely. You idiot.
Me too.
It'd be fucking horrible.
I'm terrified of flying laser sharks.
These fascists who are disguised as good liberal progressives are still in power. And they still frighten me, by the way.
For 18 days. They're in power for 18 days. What do you think? They're still worried? 18 days. The motherfucker had 8 years. His fucking big master plan all comes together in the back 2 weeks.
I will be just as afraid 18 days out from a Trump end of presidency.
I guess you're right. I'll be like, does he still have access to the big red button?
He gets mad on the way out and just presses it.
Fuck it, I'm out. Boom. Ah.
Every last one of them. Belonged in the ex-Soviet Union.
Belong in the ex-Soviet Union. Not Russia. He didn't say Russia.
Because Russia's now the right's ally, right? Yeah. Now the right loves Russia because I actually don't understand that still. But they do. They love Russia. Yeah. They've made it clear that they're just fucking gobbling that fucking knob so hard. They're just like, the fucking uvula is fucking bruised from taking that shit down.
And they're not going anywhere. That's my fear. I remember when Trump won that night. The next day I woke up, I looked at the sky. The sky looked as though it had opened up. The sky looked clear. It looked. A friend of mine said, it's as though a portal to another world had opened up for all of us.
I agree.
Yeah,
hell.
Me too. Me too.
I felt the same. You ever seen the movie The Gate?
You know, in our dimension, the dimension we came from, Bernie's president.
Oh, I love this one.
Why
aren't we still there?
The Cubs lost the World Series.
Makes more sense.
And Tommy Lahren, her name isn't Tommy Lahren. It's actually Jacqueline Glenn. And she has dark hair and she's not a conservative.
You know, I was having this conversation with someone the other day. It's like, you know, that whole idea that there's multiple, and then you make decisions and then you branch off into this one. It's like, man, this is not the right fucking one. Like,
there's one where you're still married.
I like this one so much better. Oh, I'll take it. Good.
We were no longer living in this closed world that this monster in the White House had created in this free nation. This interloper, this phony, this monster, what he had done to this nation. He had created the greatest spy apparatus the world had ever seen, and he gets away with it with that sick smile of his. Hiding behind his wife and children, the nice guy Obama, and the rats in the media like Wolf Blitzer say nothing. You don't know the rage I have for them.
I do. I feel it.
No, yeah.
It just doesn't make literally any sense at all.
And it also is impotent rage because you can't do anything about it.
No, yeah. I know impotent rage, so I'm right there with you, Mike Savage.
Despite all your rage.
You don't know what I would do if I had the power. You don't know what I would do if I had the power. You have no idea, and that's why.
But I don't like fascists, but if I had all the power, I'd fuck you up so bad. I'll tell you what I don't like, totalitarian fascists. But if you gave me all the power, I would totally be a fascist.
It's so funny. It's like that fucking, it's like that fucking experiment or whatever that they debunked, that one.
The Stanford experiment, right?
Yeah.
I made a decision many years ago. Because I have such rage against the machine.
No way!
He's always shirtless in the front of our crowd. He's always shirtless. It's like, Gorilla Radio!
Oh, please rage on, Mikey Savage. Oh, my God.
That I would stay where I am, even if I had the opportunity to inveigle my way into a government, I would not want that power because I would probably use it like a hammer on an anvil to get even with these people and what they've done to this fine country. That's how I feel about it.
Seriously, the same thing you're bitching about.
I know. Listen.
You're saying I am an untrustworthy, authoritarian, violent, vicious, dictatorial shithead, and I am that way because I don't like violent, dictatorial shitheads.
Is this irony? I'm not good at this, but I think this is irony. Yeah.
Oh, God, you're seriously that? Yeah. He is so... like, not self-reflective, right? Like, just, he can't even... He's just like, look, I got to guard against myself guarding against me. Because yeah. when I'm the guard against me, then my guard is me it's, against myself.
Do you remember last week we were talking about projection, about that guy who's saying those transgender kids want to put me on a stake and burn me alive
right,
or whatever?
Right, yeah.
It's the same thing. This is projection, right? He is worried about people in power that are not like him because he recognizes that he would abuse the shit out of that power.
At least he recognizes it.
Yeah, but I mean, but like, the thing is like he automatically assumes everybody's going to do it.
Yeah, right.
But he's totally fine with his guy abusing it.
So I'm glad I have no power. I'm glad I am only a voice on the outside looking in. I'm one of the outraged Eddies out there. Let me tell you, I'm not that happy today, but I feel differently today about the country. I don't walk around fearing that it's all coming to an end. I don't walk around looking at little white children, to be honest with you, seeing future slaves anymore. Did you know that?
What the fuck? Who's enslaving little white children? And why are they white children? Like, are the black children safe? Is he suggesting that the black children are going to be the ones enslaving the white children?
I think he was thinking that, like, Obama was going to institute slavery. That's the only explanation that I can think of.
Blink.
Right.
Blink,
yeah.
Blink.
No. I mean, yeah, it's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard.
Oh.
That's like Obama fucking in like decreeing prima nocta. Like it's the dumbest shit you've ever heard.
I am here for my first night.
And that'd be the worst because once they go black, they never go back.
Right.
So then you just get it. You just like, I married her. She won't even fuck me.
Well, then you just got to marry a different one.
Well, then he fucks her.
Damn it.
Did you know that that's what I used to see? I'd walk around and look at little white children. I'd shake my head and I'd say, if this doesn't stop, these children will be slaves in their own nation.
That's racist.
What does that even mean?
I don't even know.
Such a fucking dipshit.
I hate the guy.
The fucking pathetic moron. The fuck does that even
mean? Why would I love it? He's just like, do you know what I was afraid of? Lots of irrational shit. Okay. All right.
I was afraid of leaves. Leaves on trees. I was terrified of them.
Now
there won't be any more leaves because he's going to kill the earth. So, Tom, for a couple months now, I've been getting the HelloFresh box delivered to my house. And I got to say, I love it. I absolutely love it. And this is one of the things that I buy with my own money, right? So I can genuinely say these aren't like promo boxes that they're giving you. I subscribe to HelloFresh by choice because I think it's great. One of the things that I love about it, I think, you know, it's great for portion control. Just my wife and I, so we order for two. You can order for several people. You can order up to four, family size.
Okay, so hold on. Since it's just me, I can still order for four?
Order for four.
Because that's a one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a
All
one.
All right, fair enough. Yeah.
That's the right amount of calories.
Do they have a Tom portion?
Yeah, no, they don't.
Nobody does.
But because when they do, you just hear in the background, you just hear beep, beep, beep when they back it up to the door. No, but it's a great size of portion. You know, like a lot of times when you go to like, let's say you're digging through your recipe book and you're like, oh, I want to make this tonight. You make that thing, but you have to go out and buy a bunch of this and
sure,
a jar
yeah,
of
right.
this and whatever. It comes in these single serving pieces that you can just make the recipe with. Very rarely do I have to dig into my own pantry to get anything out of. I also subscribed to one of these box systems before in the past, and one of the things that they do is they'll send, oh, here's your chicken, here's your thing, and oh, here's your special sauce. With HelloFresh, I've never had a moment where I've been like, oh, I don't know what this ingredient is. I get to make all this stuff. Now, occasionally they'll send like quick demi-glace or quick stock with it, but that's all stuff that you can buy anyway or you
sure,
can make
right.
on your own. It's not a terribly difficult thing to do. It just takes time, right? All the meals are half an hour or about half an hour to cook. And there's a great variety. One of the things that happened when I used to cook, you know, when you cook for yourself is you wind up with these ruts. You're just like, yeah, okay, I have sloppy fucking Joe every week. You know what I mean? It's just like every week
you make your go-tos.
There's your go-tos. You have your 10 go-tos and you just make the same thing. Oh, well, we're going to have this kind of pasta with this kind of thing. And it's just sort of the one thing that you make. Every night it's something new. It's really a great system. I kind of love it. I kind of love it. And if you are interested in joining HelloFresh, you can get $35 off your first delivery. All you have to do is go to HelloFresh.com, enter the promo code COGDIS35, that's COGDIS35, to get $35 off your first week of deliveries. That promo code has changed. It's a great system, and I totally love it.
So this story comes from The Guardian. Superstition prevents action against children drowning in Bangladesh. The fucking number fucking one leading cause of death for children under the age of 18, about 18,000 people a year, is drowning in Bangladesh. What the fuck is going on in Bangladesh?
Well, like most of these deaths occur in ponds, which is where kids wash and sort of go out and like swim or whatever. Right. And the thing that makes it so that children drowned a lot is that there's no prevention of this. They don't try to prevent this because they think
it's fate.
That it's fate, that it's God's will if they drown. So they don't try to like go out of there. There's been some pushes to say, hey, well, let's teach kids to swim or let's fence off the fucking pond. What do you say we do something like that? Nobody's doing anything. And it's so crazy to see something like this happen over there. And like over here, you get questioned by the police if you let your kids walk to the park.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, here's what I don't understand this at all. The minute it hits home, the minute it's your neighbor, the minute I guess I can sort of conceptually understand the idea that it's God's will, it's fate when it's at a distance from you, right? And I know that, like, you know, and the article says, look, you know, I mean, this is how people, they have a different relationship to bodies of water than we do, right? Like bodies of water for us are reservoirs, they're places to play, but they're not where we go get our, we don't go fetch our fucking drinking water, right?
Right.
I don't go fucking down to the local, you know, retention pond to take my bath,
sure,
right?
Sure.
So the relationship with bodies of water is different than our relationship to bodies of water. So I get that. I fucking totally understand that. But what I don't understand is how as soon as this hits home, everybody doesn't just fucking stop everything, right? The minute my niece drowns, right? The minute my baby cousin drowns, the minute somebody in my community drowns, this is not God's will anymore, right? This is something I need to make sure never fucking happens. So I guess I understand it in the sense that when it happens at a distance, when it happens from afar, there's this level of remove that you can have where you can say, well, it's God's will. It's God's will, right? Because it's far enough away. But we're talking about the leading cause of death for kids under the age of 18. So it certainly is happening in your community. It's happening in your family. This is enough people fucking dying at this point that it hits home. For enough people that you would think that you'd be like, I have fucking kids. I don't want them to drown. I like my kids. My kids aren't subject to God's will, right?
And then there's ways in which you can prevent that sort of thing. So right. You teach them how to swim.
You teach
them
to swim. Yeah. Like if you're, and that's the other thing I don't understand is I understand the relationship to water issue, right? That's most of the world. Most of the world, your relationship to water is I need some water. I go to a body of water. And then I use the water from the body of water, right? We are fortunate in the first world that our relationship with water is, I need water, I go to the tap.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
I need a bath, I open the spigot. The relationship with water is different in the rest of the world, but all the more reason to teach your fucking kids to swim.
You're saying I could be a lawyer.
I'm saying you're a football player. It's in your blood.
That's racist.
Your soul.
That's racist.
Your eyes.
That's gay.
That's homophobic.
That's black.
That's racist.
Damn.
So this article is from The Atlantic. Will the alt-right promote a new kind of racist genetic? I thought this was a really interesting article. So the sub-headline is, the genomic revolution has led to easy sequencing and cheap ancestry tests. White nationalists are paying attention. The idea that your race or the idea that the genetic superiority of one race or another race is now going to be sort of quasi-backed up by some of this scientific-ish testing lends a level of pseudo-credibility to the alt-right. And that's a really unsettling thing, because it's one of those cases of just enough information to be dangerous.
Sure.
And I thought this article was interesting.
Yeah, and it feels a lot like me. Like to me, it feels like remember when we went down to the Ark Park and there was dinosaurs in the cages down there?
Yes, I do.
What it feels like is people that don't really, I feel like, respect the findings of science, mm-hmm. looking for some scientific yep. backing to bolster their own viewpoints.
Start with your conclusion.
Yeah, exactly. You start with your conclusion and you work backwards to find the science that bolsters right. those things. And this is a perfect example that they even talk in this article about how there are some interesting things that they're bringing up. Some of these people are bringing up. However, they are wholesale throwing things out that are already out there. And one of the things that I thought that was really interesting from this article was talking about how little variation there is in human DNA, how small the variations are. And we're talking about, you know, 0.1% of variations amongst all the human beings. And that's the stuff that we're looking at to see where people came from and where they...
Right.
And it really, I think, shows the opposite of what they're looking
at,
right?
I thought the same thing. Like, what that shows is how, not how diverse we all are, no. but how interconnected yeah. we all are, right? Yeah. That it really, when you look at, I read the same thing. It's like, when you look at this, it's like, we're more one than we are many.
Yeah.
Right? But these guys are going to use micro differences, these tiny little differences, and they're going to use these, I don't even want to call them findings, but they're gonna go fucking needle hunting.
Yeah,
right. And then they're gonna find needles, because if you hunt for needles long enough, you're gonna find them, right? And then that's gonna be their new proof.
Yeah,
you know. It's weirdly unsettling. It's like there is a wonderful, and I'm 100% on board with it. Like, the democratization of information is a good thing. But it's not a uniformly good thing.
Sure,
right. Like anything else. When you put information into the hands of idiots and assholes, it bolsters their idiocy.
Sure.
And it bolsters their assholery. Sure.
Yeah.
And this is like a prime example of that.
Baby, like, what the fuck? All right, so Tom, we read half of chapter 19 for this, because chapter 19 is very long.
It's very terrible.
And so it's mostly about Lady Di and JFK. So why don't you get started and read one of your questions to me? Every week we are every other week. Sometimes we read David Icke's book, The Biggest Secret, and we quiz each other on the chapter. You don't have to read at home because the quizzes will tell you everything you need to know about this.
Oh, yes. My quizzes particularly are terribly informative. Question one, Cecil. Mm-hmm. Jesus fucking Christ. What is the hospice movement really all about?
Murdering Jews.
Well, if you're going to give it away. A, creating a loving, nurturing space for people to die without the clinical harshness of a hospital and with more care than is possible in a home setting.
It sounds true.
B, putting people into white chocolate space eggs to be enjoyed by the lizard people and Liz Phair as snacks for
Liz
later.
Liz Phair. C, throwback to the 90s. Good for you.
There's more coming, buddy.
Okay, late 90s.
C, to gather support for euthanasia, a totally different fucking thing, so that Kissinger can kill off all the useless eaters.
That's it.
It's about time you kick the fucking bucket, Grandma. You're chewing through my inheritance like you are that morphine drip.
It's the useless eaters.
It's the useless eaters.
Oh, that's awesome.
Christ.
Good for you. Someone killed JFK.
Mm-hmm.
Who were they, and how do we know?
Yeah.
A, Henry Kissinger.
That's always Henry.
His name's roots are Kiss and Singer. The singer of Kiss is Paul Stanley.
Oh, God.
Stanley Tools were founded in New Britain, Connecticut. Britain is the home of the Lizard Queen.
I fucking yes.
B, Lyndon B. Johnson. His last name is Johnson, which is slang for Wang. Vera Wang used to work at Ralph Lauren. Thing. Their logo is someone playing polo. Polo is the game of kings. All kings are part of the brotherhood.
This is my favorite thing you've ever done right now.
C, Jimmy Hoffa. Jimmy was the president of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. Brotherhood is literally right in the title. D, Lyndon B. Johnson. His middle name is Baines, from the Scottish Bane or MacBane, which was written about Shakespeare, which was written about by Shakespeare. Bane in French means bath, and this is the origin of the Order of Bath. Absolution baths were given to the Masonic Knights before they caused murder and mayhem.
D.
It's D.
I don't want to know this.
It's D.
I don't want to know this. I don't want to know this. I don't want to know this.
Actually, to be honest, mine were a few short steps to Kevin Bacon, where theirs was a little farther off.
You know what's unsettling is like, fuck, I know this answer. Yeah. Part of my brain is devoted to that. Right? There's a part of my brain right now doesn't remember my dad's birthday.
Exactly. I flushed important things from the RAM and to I know
get,
this.
This is what I get. See, so when Diana told Charles that she loved him, how did he respond? A, what's love got to do with it? Got to do with it. B, I want to know what love is. Oh. I want you to show me. C, whatever love is. D, I'm never going to give you up. Never going to let you down. Never going to turn around and desert you.
I think he said all of them, actually. It's C.
It's C. Maybe, according to Ike.
Tom.
Yeah.
What is in our inner self?
Really, Cecil? We're going there?
A vibrating consciousness field that attracts other fields which sync with our energy. Therefore, our outer physical appearance is merely a reflection of what's happening on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
B, our inner self is plugged up airtight with vibrators, and when one vibrator meets up with the butt plug, our outer physical experience gets moist. C,
yes.
Early stages of four kinds of cancer. Or D, a rooty tooty fresh and fruity.
It is both D and A. Cecil, according to Ike, how do fools fall in love? A, only fools rush in. B, I can't help falling in love with you.
Did you just write down song lyrics? You just wrote song lyrics down.
I don't know, but don't discount the possibility of love spells concocted by black magicians to create mind-controlled slaves.
Okay, that was copied directly from the book, though. You still don't get off the hook.
Or D, by choosing between an emo sparkly vampire or the muscly guy who's also sometimes a dog.
It's the sometimes dog. Tom.
Yes?
John Kennedy was a member of A, the Organ Donor Society of America. B, the Empty Chamber of Commerce. C, the Order of St. John, which is a British version of the Knights of Malta.
Go. Here we go.
Or D, the Bullet of the Month Club.
The Bullet of the Month Club! He got his 1 month!
He got the first one free!
It's a terrible business plan, guys. All right. Cecil, the Kennedy assassination is just like the death of Princess Diana, which was also an assassination, just so you know. How do we know this? A, somehow lizards.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. B, somehow wizards. C, somehow blizzards.
It's somehow all
D,
three.
D, the aristocrats.
It's the aristocrats. Tom, Ike believes A.
Yeah.
Princess Di might have been groomed from birth to die at that spot in Paris at that exact time.
Oh, God.
B, that Lee Harvey Oswald was a patsy and a scapegoat, but also represents Osiris. C, that Jane Mansfield was a high priestess of the Church of Satan. D, that it's not butter. Or E, all of the above.
Well, since I know that D and B are true, all of the above.
All right, so here is the synopsis.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Princess Di was murdered by a guy who was in her car, I think. He put his seatbelt on real fast right before the crash, which seems like a horribly inefficient way to murder someone when you have private access to them. I think that's it. I think that's it.
That's it. Yeah. That's the whole thing.
Put his seatbelt on real quick.
Click. Click at her ticket, bitch.
So that's chapter 19A. I can't imagine the 19B is going to be. Is it seriously going to be the second half of the dying?
I think it is.
Is it second half of Princess Di?
This is all Princess Di.
Oh, my God. It's so boring.
It's so boring. If she was alive, this would be boring. Ugh. Everything about princesses is fucking boring. Can't we just let it go?
Well, they're talking about, like, at one point, talking about how much... That was a Frozen reference? Princess joke or something?
Yeah.
Clever.
That was a shout out for all the Disney people
clever.
Out there.
Clever. I even got that.
I'm clever as fuck.
I've never even seen the movie.
I've never seen it either. It's for little girls.
Oh.
I have boys.
Okay.
We watch shit blow up. Where it's like, better. Who died?
That's better. That's it. So one of the things they're talking about, he spent a lot of time talking about how much they spent on a hotel room at one point.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, who gives a fuck? They're super rich. Like,
the whole last chapter, you were just talking about how the queen owns all the money possible.
Yeah.
Right? Presumably, the princess gets some of that money, too. Or some access to
some
it, right?
Some access to it.
Or I'm sorry, the prince. Sorry.
Also, the princess, well...
Because she's not a princess until...
Well, no, she wasn't. She wasn't. She wasn't dating the prince anymore. They had divorced.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm so bored already. I forgot.
Yeah, no.
I know.
They had divorced already, though. Charles and her had divorced. And she was dating some prince from... Or prince or a really rich guy from Saudi Arabia or something.
Yeah, like Fizzle Fozzle.
I think that's exactly his name.
I think that was his name.
Yeah.
Fizzle McShizzle or something.
It's so boring, though. You don't even remember.
Yeah. Why would you pay attention to it?
It's so boring.
Why?
Yeah. So
the best thing about it is writing fucking song lyrics in response
to it. Next time, 19B.
Oh, God.
I do believe that atheists are parasites in the sense they're benefiting from everything that religious culture is built in America, but they're doing nothing to add energy into the system.
So this story comes from the Friendly Atheist blog. This is crazy. Atheists helped homeless people over Christmas, but Christians online are giving the credit to God. So the Southeast Texas Atheists Helping the Homeless group, which I love the name of that group because it's exactly what they are, right? Like, it's like, my name is Bill and I gave him money to you, group. Like, it's just, it's such an awkward.
I like the group too. I like
awkward
it.
Group.
Helping the Homeless.
Yeah.
And they wound up giving away, I want to say it was like $750 or something worth of gift cards.
Right. And people online were like, hey, that's very Christian of them. And the responses were like, yeah, no, pass. That's not what's happening here at all.
One of the things that's bothersome is that when you read these comments and all these people want to blame God for how good these people are, because there are some people who genuinely feel that if you're good, all that good can only come from God. So God is working through you whether you want him to or not. God non-consensually is working through me.
Ouch.
I hope it... Look, I just hope that he lubed his hands up.
Man.
Woo. Warmed him up ahead of time.
Yeah.
Because that grab, that first grab of cold
hands... It catches your
hands,
attention.
Unpleasant.
Man, and it's a big hand.
Unpleasant.
That's not... You know, it reminds me... We were talking about this before the show. It reminds me of the... that idea, you know, that like the only time that you can do good is with God, right? And so they want to give the thanks to God because it makes them... I think what happens here is it makes these guys uncomfortable. Right? Because the only reason they would do good, or they think that the only reason that they would do good is because they were prescribed to do it by their religious faith, right?
Right.
And what they don't understand, and what I truly believe, is they would do good anyway, right? Because it's just, they would probably do good anyway. And the problem is that they don't understand either themselves, their own motivations, or the beauty of altruism as a value and virtue on its own.
Yeah.
They probably would do this anyway. These are like, they're probably fucking good people. Good people do good things. Right? It's a fucking simple concept. So Hitchens is fond of saying in his debates, let them name one ethical statement made or one ethical action performed by a believer that could not have been uttered or done by a non-believer. And here's my second challenge. Can any reader of this column think of a wicked statement made or an evil action performed precisely because of religious faith? And I think it's interesting, right? Because it kind of only cuts one way. It does not cut the other way. There's nothing a religious person can do. There's no good moral, ethical action a religious person can do that I can't do.
Right.
There just simply isn't. I can perform any action from my own justifications, my own moral and ethical justifications, right? I can come up with a secular justification for any good ethical action. It's easy. It's fucking crazily easy. But all that crazy fucking shit that people do in the name of religiosity, I can't come to that as a secular person, right? And so it really only cuts in the one direction and not the direction of the religious people would be comfortable with, right? And I think something like this and the reaction of the people online really underscores how deeply uncomfortable people are with the idea of altruism as an intrinsic virtue that's part of our human nature. Because if we have that, if we are intrinsically altruistic, just in us, right? And studies show that chimps have altruism and dogs behave altruistically. So it's not even unique to humans. If that's true, then what's the God there for again?
Exactly. Suddenly they don't need the thing that they think they've been using ever since.
Right.
And all those points they've racked up.
Yeah.
You know,
all
your high
karma,
score doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Your high score is washed down. It's like somebody unplugged the Pac-Man machine.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Well, Cecil, it's 2017, buddy. Mm-hmm. Here we are. And the psychics, it's the beginning. So we do this. We didn't do this last year. Last year was maybe not our year. But we've done this many years in the
past. Our year?
It wasn't mine, buddy. But 2017, well, fuck it, man. It's not 2016. And the psychics are at it again. They're predicting all their shenanigans. And like we've done many years in the past, let's talk a little bit about some of the 2017 predictions. These were posted
on September 9th.
Right.
September
of 2016. 9th.
So there's already some wins in here.
Yeah, I love this. So one of these wins, I love this win. The win, this person gives themselves a 10 out of 10 for this prediction. America becomes politically divided between East and West. Riots and gunfights in America over the election results.
And turmoil throughout 2017. Friendly neutral troops from Canada are called in to quell the... From Canada?
Really?
From
really?
Canada? Really?
Hey, guys, would you please cut it out, eh? Hey.
Hey, sorry. Sorry. Well,
sorry about it. I think you should maybe stop shooting at each other.
We brought you
eh?
Some Canadian whiskey.
We could use it to,
disinfect the
water
wound.
Down your actual whiskey.
Kim Jong-un will fall from power later in the year, maybe December 17 or January of 18.
Nope. This is not going to happen.
That one feels a little not going to happen.
Yeah, no. I like this one because this isn't even a prediction. Serious threat of escalating conflict between China and India over northern border of Kashmir. Oh, okay. There's a threat of a conflict? Your prediction is that something might happen? It's not even a thing. It's a threat of a thing.
Look at the next one. Sample of Shakespeare's bones exhumed and show that he was poisoned. Clues to a new play found in his grave. What was he working on it late? Like, what is he? He's like, oh, I gotta finish this before I get poisoned to death.
No, Cecil, they didn't find the play. They found clues. They found clues to his play. So they have to follow, like fucking National Treasure, a series of escalatingly difficult fucking treasure hunting clues. Oh, maybe it's up Thomas Jefferson's fucking ass. What are you kidding me? Clues? Were they buried him with clues? Were they paw prints? I made a Blues Clues joke for all the parents out there. Assassination and kidnap attempt on the Pope. Swiss guards killed.
With their little pantaloons. I love the Swiss Guard. They have like pole arms and they also have like fucking M16s.
I like this last one. 2017 sees the launch of new virtual reality games and cinema. This is hailed as a great cultural leap forward and takes off on a massive scale in the coming years. Its downside is that, just like immersive video games, it saps the inspiration for people and further enslaves the mind to materialism. There's a little editorialism in there, right? Fucking tell me what's going to happen. Don't fucking judge me for playing Bioshock.
This guy also predicts the crash of the EU that Denmark and Italy pull out. Italy's never pulled out of anything, by the way. Denmark. let me rephrase. Italians never pulled out of anything.
Not without a court order. Bada bing, bada boom.
Hey, forget about it. Hey, that's for you.
I left you a little present.
You keep that. Share some with your sister. No, you're supposed to drip it in her mouth. But they pull out of the EU and it crashes in 2017. And then it says economic chaos in Europe and America with riots in many European capital, in many European capital and big cities, Rome, Madrid, Berlin, Paris, and Prague. In these places, many people are suffering serious poverty and food shortages due to the failure of the EU. So
there we go.
Expect that to happen, Marsh.
You know, it's never it's never like, yeah, everything's going to turn out well. 2017, banner year for everyone. It's like, it's all
like, he's like,
everything's going to shit.
Nobody's like, Leonardo gets another Oscar. So we want to thank our new patrons. Thank you so much, everybody who's donated recently. Joshua, Joseph, David at theramblingblog.com, Mitch, Sharon, Carter, Jason, Kalen, Christopher, Endwell, Casey, Zabby, Jonathan, Dee Dee, Drunken Public, John, a John without an H, BJ, Zach, Mark, Gordon, Robert, Marnus, Troy, Jean Francois. Tom, you got to say this one because the person wanted you to say it.
Ugh, soccer doesn't suck. It does, though. It sucks so bad.
Tom would say that about every sport, though.
I would.
So it doesn't matter.
Except for the fighty, fighty ones.
B-Hose, Terry, Evan, Liz, Stefano, Shitty, Zachary, Beat Duck, Diane the Vagina Doctor.
I love that.
Patrick, Logan, and Elizabeth. Thank you also very much for your generous donations. In the next week, maybe we're going to do a test video. We finally got our video set up. We're going to do a test video. We'll let the patrons know when the video is going to go up, and then we'll have a conversation with the patrons. We're going to post something probably ahead of time to let people know when we'll be on, and we'll do a little video.
So if you guys want to look at us,
yeah,
that's
be fun.
Amazing. It's going to be terrific. We actually have, I think we've got a really exciting, really cool video set up in here. We really didn't pull a lot of punches. We put together a really nice setup.
Yeah.
So we should be able to offer some really interesting content using video in the very near future.
We're going to be trying to do more video content as time goes on. Just sort of live shows. We're just going to try to add live shows to the mix, to the mix. We're going to see what our time looks like and things like that, but we're going to try to do live shows more often and probably do live shows with the video, and it should be a lot of fun. So we got a message.
This is great.
This is from this is from Michael, and Michael sent this in. It's an image of Bowser with a Trump head.
We'll
post this on this episode show notes. I think it's a pretty accurate image.
It's horrifying. Pretty good. It's well done, but it scares me.
Tom, we got a message that you thought was pretty funny. This is from Craig.
Yeah, so Craig sent a message saying that there's going to be a McDonald's in the Vatican. He said, so basically, and by the way, Cardinal Pell is still in residence there, and I guess he's now the prefect of the Secretariat of the Economy.
What the fuck?
I don't know. How does that even fit on a business card? I'm the prefect of the Secretariat of the Economy. Economy of what? Your tiny little penis state? Jesus. So basically, an accused pedophile hiding in a secretive microstate has apparently approved the opening of a kid magnet fast food joint close to his office. I love it.
Oh, shit. No, you don't want to grab the balls from the playpen, whatever you do. We got an image. This was the Saturday Evening Post image for Hitler.
Little Hitler.
That? January 25th when?
1943?
Yeah. Something like that. So we're going to post an image of this. It's Lil Hitler. Aww. Thank you, Horatio.
He's adorbs.
So that's going to wrap it up for this week. We hope you enjoyed the toaster shake-ins from last year. I had a lot of fun putting that together. It was a lot of fun. And we're going to be on stage next week. Later this week, because that's when this releases. We'll be on stage with the GAM crew. In Chicago, tickets are still on sale. They should be on when this releases. I don't think that they'll be completely sold out. They're almost sold out.
They're close. They're close. Getting close. So if you want tickets, it's kind of go time.
Yeah.
Right? It's go time. Yeah. And it's going to be, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it should be good.
I've done so much work preparing for this.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week. We're going to leave you.
You won't even dignify that.
The Skeptic's Creed. The only work Tom has ever done. And it's terrible.
And I didn't even do it for the show.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo quasi alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy healing, water downward spiral, brain deadpan, sales pitch, late night info docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your sides. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and information provided on this podcast are intended for entertainment purposes only. All opinions are solely that of Glory Hole Studios, LLC. Cognitive Dissonance makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, currentness, suitability, or validity of any information, and will not be liable for any errors, damages, or butthurt arising from consumption. All information is provided on an as-is basis. No refunds. Produced in association with the local Dairy Council and viewers like you.